السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We are discussing with regards to hukukul ibad. We discussed hukukullah and we were now discussing hukukul ibad. So the first thing we discussed is that if we have offended anybody, then ask the person for forgiveness. And when we are asking for forgiveness, this should be from the heart. We should ask for forgiveness in a humble way, not in an arrogant manner. Now, if we ask for forgiveness and the opposite party doesn't want to make us maaf, you ask the person for forgiveness, that person refuses to make maaf. Now what happens? Our duty is to ask for forgiveness. To make that person make us maaf, that's not our duty. So we must ask for forgiveness. That person doesn't forgive, that is between him and Allah Ta'ala. So it is mentioned that a person who is clearly in the wrong, and if he doesn't ask for forgiveness, then he is a shaitan. Person is clearly in the wrong, he knows he's in the wrong, and he doesn't want to ask for forgiveness, then he is a shaitan. But the person from whom forgiveness is sought and he doesn't forgive, then he is a donkey. So what is wrong? I mean, person is asking for maafi. Why don't we want to forgive the person? Why are we being so stubborn? We don't want to forgive the person. Person is asking for maaf. So as long as the person asks for maaf in a nice way, sincerely, he has done his duty. If the other person doesn't want to forgive, leave it to Allah Ta'ala. One day his heart will soften, one day he will forgive. So we are still dealing with the tartib of Islah, right? So the tartib of Islah is to first remove the dirt and then bring in the good. You can't have the dirt there. It's like how a doctor also, if there is an infection on a wound, you can't just put dawa. First you have to get rid of the infection. You clean the wound, get rid of the infection. After that now, you can put some medication so that the healing process can start. But without getting rid of the infection, is going to be counterproductive. So the first step is to get rid of the haram, get rid of the evils from our life. Now a person mustn't misunderstand that while I'm getting rid of the evils from my life, so does that mean I must put my namaz and everything on a back burner? That if a person is not reading salah, which is faraz, and now for example, he's got some other haram in his life, maybe he's watching movies, or he got a girlfriend, or something like that. So while he is in the process of giving up the haram, it doesn't mean that he mustn't read his namaz. Some people sometimes misunderstand things. All of us misunderstand. But sometimes a person, he gets caught up in some intoxicants. So now the person indulged in some intoxicant. So he wants to know now that now for 40 days, you know, my du'as are not accepted, ibadat not accepted. So do I still have to read? If nothing except it, then must I still read? Now, obviously, we have to read. We did one thing wrong. Now we have to humble ourselves in front of Allah Ta'ala, cry, ask for forgiveness, and then put ourselves right. So a person, one is the obligation of the salah. The other is all the benefits that a person gets from namaz. All the perks, all the virtues, all the benefits. So sometime due to him consuming haram or consuming an intoxicant or something, then he may be deprived of all the good. But he still has to complete that farz action. Otherwise, he will be guilty of neglecting the farz. The farz still has to be completed. Gee. Ghibat is talking ill of somebody. Something that if the person comes to know that we spoke about him in this manner, the person won't like it. So that is ghibat. Now, bringing another person's fault to our mind, bringing somebody's faults to our mind, ikhtiyari torpar. One is, we not thinking evil of anybody. Some bad thought comes in the mind. Ghair ikhtiyari. How will we know it is ghair ikhtiyari? As soon as the thought comes, we don't want it to be there. We don't want it to be there. So we'll move our mind away from it. When it is ikhtiyari, we will entertain the thought. When it's ikhtiyari, now we bring in the thought. Right? Now we will bring the thought. Now we allow for that thing to fester. But this person is like this, and is like that, and is like that. This is also a type of a ghibat. Right? Especially for those who are treading the path of suluk. One is the normal ghibat. The normal type of ghibat is where we speak something. Right? You speak something bad about somebody, which is true. It is in that person. What we're saying is true. But obviously the person is not going to like it if the person comes to know we spoke about him. So you must understand this difference also. When is it hukukullah? When does it become hukukul ibad? If we spoke something about somebody and that person doesn't know about it, he doesn't know about it at all. At this point, it is hukukullah. We have to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness and Allah will forgive us. But if the person comes to know, what we spoke, now it becomes hukukul ibad. Right? Now we have to seek forgiveness from that person also. Because now that person's feelings have been hurt, the person has been offended, we broke the person's heart. So now we go to ask the person for maafi, and then we have to ask Allah Ta'ala also for maafi. If the person doesn't know about it, there is no need to go and inform him that I made ghibat about you. Hazrat Chaki Mukhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, somebody came to tell him that certain person spoke something bad about him, the person mentioned. So Hazrat mentioned that person is better than you. So that person, he took a pin and he threw it. It fell somewhere. You went and picked up the pin and came poked me with it. In other words, what that person spoke, I didn't know about it. He didn't hurt me, he didn't harm me. So he took a pin, he threw it, it landed somewhere. You went and picked that thing up and you came and poked me with it. Now you're causing me pain now. In other words, there was no reason for you to come and tell me this thing. So, as long as the person doesn't know about it, you don't go and tell the person. You ask Allah Ta'ala for maafi. But yes, the person, the people or the person or persons to whom we spoke, where this wrong was discussed, we must set the record straight over there. You go to phone those people or go to those people and say, you know what, man, I mentioned this thing about this person, I was mistaken. Or you can tell them, you know, I mentioned this about that person, but you know how many other good qualities he got. So you rectify the situation there. Only if that person came to know about it, now you have to go and ask that person also for maaf. Right. Sometime, the Buzrugani Deen, Allah Ta'ala deals with them differently. Allah Ta'ala deals with them differently because they are obviously on a different level, right? On a different level. And Allah Ta'ala wants them to go even higher. So if they make small mistakes, small mistakes, right? Allah Ta'ala sometimes takes them to task very severely, immediately. Right? So there is an incident, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali is mentioning here, with regards to Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali. One day, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali is entering the masjid, and he sees a young person, handsome person also, he's fair in complexion, neatly dressed, he's wearing nice clean clothes, everything, but he's begging. He's begging there outside the masjid. So the thought came to Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali, that he's a healthy person, he's wearing good clothing, everything, right? And he's begging. Now, it didn't add up, like, you know. So he just thought this thing. He didn't even mention it to anything. Just the thought came in his mind. So that night, Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali sees in a dream. A man approaches him in the dream and presents him, saying, there's some meat, partake of it. So when he looks at this meat, so it is a dead body. A dead body. It's a corpse. So Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali is telling this person in the dream, he said, but this is a corpse, it's haram to eat. So this person is telling him, yes, to eat this is haram, but when you were eating the flesh of your dead Muslim brother, was that not haram? So Junaid Baghdadi said, but I never did such a thing. He said, oh, you didn't do it? So let me ask you, does the Quran Sharif not state that one should not make ghibat? Would any of you love to eat the flesh of your dead brother? So Junaid Baghdadi says, yes, that ayat is in the Quran Sharif. He said, well then, you have eaten. So he asked him, he said, when did I do this? He said, when you saw that young man begging, you brought the thought into your heart. A young, handsome man, fit and healthy, yet he's begging. Did you think ghibat is only when you relate a person's faults to others, and when you think of the faults of others, it is not ghibat? You deliberately brought his fault to your mind. This is such a fine point, to deliberately bring somebody else's fault to our mind. Now, you have to understand things also in context. A girl receives a proposal. Now, the person who has proposed He may be having some weaknesses in him. Now at that time, for the father to think, you know, this person, but he got this weakness, that weakness, now how am I going to give my daughter to him? So that won't be regarded as ghibat. He's protecting his daughter's interests. Right? It is his duty now to find out, do some background check, check up whether this is a suitable person or not. Somebody comes, applies for a position at your company. Now you are within your right to do some background checks. What type of a person is this? One person went to the marketplace to buy one slave. So the slave outwardly looked very healthy, strong person. But the person who was selling the slave, he told the purchaser that, see, the slave got one weakness in him. Because when you're selling something, you must mention the fault. They say, got one weakness in him, he likes to carry tails. So this person says, carrying tails is not just his problem, I need him to do work. He looks nice, fit, healthy person, he can do work. He is carrying tails, that's his problem. So he purchased him and brought him home. But you see the sickness of carrying tails now, right? This person, what he did, he goes to the wife of the master now. Okay. Say, you know what? Your husband, he doesn't like you anymore. I heard him talking something, he's interested in somebody else. But if you want, I can help you to make him, make his heart come back to you, I can assist you. How are you going to assist me? And what you need to do is, you need to get me 3 strands of his beard. His beard hair. 3 strands while he's sleeping. You must just cut out 3 strands of hair, you give it to me. And then I'll do some hocus pocus. You know, all Amil stories. And his love will come back. So, she said, okay. In the meanwhile, he goes to the master. Say, you know what? Your wife, she don't like you anymore. She's interested in somebody else. She's planning to kill you. So what nonsense you're talking? They say, I'm telling you. See what you do in the night. You just make like you're sleeping. You see, she'll come with a blade. She's going to slit your throat. See? Scaring tales. Go one side, you tell one story to cause a fire. Another side, you go somewhere, tell a story, you cause another fire. Abu Lahab's wife had this habit. She was a tale bearer. So, the husband, he went now acting like he's sleeping. The wife, Bichari, she came now thinking she needs to get that hair. As soon as he saw her coming with the blade, he caught her hand, he took the same thing, he killed her. Her family killed him. And like that, don't know how many murders took place until they resolved this issue. All because of what? One talebearer. So now sometime, a person is looking for he's come for employment. So you are within your right to do some background checks. Because if the person, his ways are not good, he's got certain habits, he may cause a whole problem there in your company. Your company is running well, everything is running nicely, but he got certain adat, he'll come and cause big problem. So you are within your right to do some background checks. Now that's not regarded as ghibat. If somebody phones you for a reference and you know that this person has got certain weaknesses in him, then it is your duty to inform that person that, look, you don't have to go into all the details, but you can inform that person that, look, but you know, we didn't get some very good reports about this person. Just do your background check and everything properly. Today you must watch out. Who you tell what you must watch out. Today sometime you think you're trying to help somebody, they put you in a soup. Somebody phones you sometime for a reference or something. You think you're trying to help the person, you're trying to protect the person. You tell them something, they go and tell the other party, you know, the Maulana said like this, Maulana said like that. Now that party is coming to fight with you. Now for example, if somebody came for a proposal, now they phone the Ustad or something for a reference. Ustad say, no, this fellow here, shaky character. Now they go and tell that family, because they want the boy, because he came with the right car. Got the right bank balance, came the right car. Or the girl and boy, they're already dating. So now they want one another. And instead of just taking the advice, right? No, now they go and tell those people. Oh, this is what they said about you. Is this true what they said? What they're going to tell you is true. Some people are ajeeb. So today you got to be very careful. Sometime if you rather just sukut, rather keep quiet. But I don't. Unless you really know the person properly, you can give some honest reference. Otherwise, you know, I don't want the person. Leave it. So, this reprimand is given to Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali in a dream. So Hazrati Rahmatullah Ali says that let us pause for a while. Elaborate over the points. So the first thing we learn from here is that to deliberately bring another person's faults to our heart and mind. So we got no work for this person. He didn't propose for our daughter. He didn't ask for a job in our company. He's not buying my property next door. He's not becoming my neighbor. Nothing. I got nothing to do with him. But now I'm observing his fault. And I'm deliberately bringing his fault into my mind. So this too is a ghibat. This too is a type of a ghibat. Right? So point number two, looking at another person's fault with an attitude of contempt is also haram. Holding the person in contempt, that too is haram. So whether that person is a, and sometimes it can be an elder person, right? You say, no, so big, so old this man is and still performing like this. Sometimes he's a front row musalli, but you heard something about his dealings not being good. What's the use now? He's in the front stuff and he's hitting all the people down there. Aren't you holding the person in contempt? His action between him and Allah Pak. But our holding him in contempt, now that too is haram. We're not supposed to hold him in contempt. Point number three, what is the haq of the heart? The haq of the heart is to be in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. To keep the heart clean for the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Right? And now I'm contaminating the heart with evil thoughts of another person, holding somebody else in contempt. I am now contaminating this heart of mine. Right? I brought ghayrullah into my heart. My heart is supposed to be for Allah. I have brought ghayrullah into my heart. The fourth point, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentions, that if this thought was not ikhtiyari, right, then why was there no repugnance at the thought? The fact that I entertained the thought, that shows it's ikhtiyari. It's not just a fleeting thought that came and went. No, I'm entertaining this thought. So this shows that at that moment, my ta'alluq ma'allah was absent. If my ta'alluq ma'allah was there, then I wouldn't have got involved in this. Right? Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali goes on to explain. He said that we are speaking in general terms, that today to even make an attempt to ask somebody to give up ghibat, right, And we must think of ourselves. If you tell a person that what you're doing is ghibat, he will say, no, I can tell him to his face. So telling somebody off to their face, does that make anybody any more noble? That is also evil. Telling somebody off on their face, is that something good? Is that a noble quality? So when a person is making a rebirth and is pointed out to him, instead of him accepting and saying, you know what, I was wrong, right, forgive me. Instead of doing that, no, he wants to justify his action. He wants to justify his action by saying that, no, I'll tell him to his face. I'm not scared. I'll tell him to his face. No, that is worse. And if the person got little bit knowledge, then he'll justify his ghibat. He'll say, no, we're making his ghibat for his islah. Or, no, I'm just pointing this thing out to you so that you don't do the same thing. See? But all this is wrong. Incorrect. So we must accept, if somebody points it out to us, we must accept it and detest from it. Stop the rebirth. So continuing with this incident of Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi, so immediately after this dream, Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi woke up. Now he was very, very perturbed, right? He's disturbed. He wakes up and he goes out in search of this young man to seek his pardon. Now it was not necessary. Because he didn't say anything. You're only supposed to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. But as we said, that the Ahlullah, Allah Ta'ala deals with them differently. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala wants to show them something. So Allah Ta'ala deals with them differently. Now sometimes we read these things in the kitabs. Now we think these things apply to us. And we want to start behaving in that manner. We'll be causing problem for ourselves. We must stick to the masail. You're unsure about something, ask the ulama. Don't try to put on us those things we can't be. And it's not even necessary according to Shariat. So Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi goes and he approaches the river. He sees this young man strolling along the river bank. He recognizes him as the same person he saw in the masjid, so he greeted him, Assalamu alaikum. So the youth replied, Wa alaikum assalam. And without any pause, he says to him, having seen a dream, you have now come to ask for forgiveness. Without investigating, you jumped to conclusions. A fit young man dressed in neat white clothes and begging. So he knew about the rebirth and he knew what the rebirth was also. You should have at least verified the facts. Right? How many days have I not spent without food in spite of searching for work? I found no means. Is it then not permissible under the circumstances for me to ask? As for these clothes that you see me wearing, they were handed to me just this morning. Seeing the external, you jump to conclusions. Now, who is saying all this? That young, the youth. So he was also not just anybody. He was one of those who had some rank by Allah Ta'ala. So it goes to show that not only old people can reach these ranks. Young people also can reach these ranks. The youth had also reached an elevated stage through ibadat, taqwa, dhikrullah, abstention from sin, ta'alluq ma'allah. That don't mean that you have to starve yourself. That don't mean that you mustn't sleep. That don't mean you can't dress up. Everything must be done with moderation. Sometimes young people, they hear this kind of thing, then they think, oh, so now I got to undergo some very, very rigorous, you know, exercises, then only I will come right. No. But remember something. The objective in life is to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to worship Allah Ta'ala, get the marifat of Allah Ta'ala, remain with Iman, pass away with Iman. How to do that? Allah has given us the instructions. All these other things now, where somebody else had a dream and you know what he dreamt. Nobody asked us to, there's no cause for that. That's how you're going to reach that stage there. And then you get this and get that. Or you know, I need to do that. Then I'll start seeing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in my dream. I need to do this, then I'll see Allah Pak. Allah Pak will talk to me in my dream. No. That's not the objective of life. You just continue. You continue in your obedience to Allah Ta'ala, the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whatever Allah Ta'ala gives you, you make raza bil qaza. Right? See, we talk about raza bil qaza when it comes to wealth. You know, how much, whatever money Allah gave you, you must be pleased with that. You must be content with that. Right? So the same way, when it comes to these things, now certain person, Allah Pak blesses him with kashf. They don't mean it's necessary for everybody to have kashf. Certain people, Allah Ta'ala blesses them, they see Huzur Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a dream. Right? Now another person is not seeing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a dream. So now, the person who's not seeing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a dream, he mustn't feel that I'm a Jahannami now. How come I'm not seeing? How come he's seeing, I'm not seeing? Allah Pak never make it that is a precondition for you to go Jannat, you must see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a dream. Understand? Now, some people sometimes go to Roza Mubarak, now they'll have some experience. What you must do at the Roza Mubarak is with adab, with ihtiram, you go, you present yourself, with humility, you make salam to Huzur-e Aqdas Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? You ask Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for sifarish Day of Qiyamah. You ask Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, give you a drink from Huzur-e Kawthar. Whatever salam you can give, you give. Whoever salam you remember, you pass the salams of the Ummah. If you did that with respect, with humility, you went nicely and you did that. So you fulfill to some degree the making of the salam to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now if somebody else said, you know, I went to make salam, the gates opened and I saw something else and experienced this, or somebody said, now while I was standing there, I lifted off the ground, or somebody. Now those are personal experiences of people. Who Allah Pak wants them to experience that they experience. And you must be happy for that person. Must be happy for that person. But that doesn't mean that now there's something wrong with you. No. Yeah. If there are kabira gunas in my life, now there's something wrong. If I am deliberately omitting the sunnats of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, now there's something wrong. Understand? So we mustn't sometimes misunderstand things and then try to do such difficult, heavy things, and after that the person gets so weak he can't even read namaz. He gets so weak. Sometimes person goes off his head. People have gone off their head. They went to be mad. Because they're trying to now they read, oh, must read so much this, read so much that, so much. They can't see themselves, they're going mad. They think they're reading and they're doing it. Who asked you to do all that? Who asked you to do something? Your body got a right over you. Your wife got a right over you. Your family got a right over you. You got to fulfill everything. Gee, so he is telling Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi. And then he tells him further. He says, I thought you attained some very elevated rank. The youth is telling Junaid Baghdadi. So I thought you reached some elevated rank. But it appears you still have some deficiency. So we mustn't think that Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi was not who he was. But Allah Ta'ala sometime, He wants that Buzurg to go to an even higher maqam. So He shows him something. He's like, no, we can't compare the Buzurgane Deen to the Anbiya alayhi musallat wa sallam. Anbiya alayhi musallam, they are in a different league altogether. But it's like Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam, when one of his ummati asked him that who is the most knowledgeable. So he's thinking that he is the Nabi of Allah. He didn't say out of pride, but he is the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. So he said, I am. Allah Pak didn't like that answer. So Allah Pak made Musa alayhi salam meet Khizr alayhi salam. Now it doesn't mean Khizr alayhi salam's maqam is higher than Musa alayhi salam. No. There was certain knowledge that Allah Ta'ala gave Khizr alayhi salam that Musa alayhi salam never have. But Khizr is not from the Ulul Azam Anbiya. Musa alayhi salam's rank is something else. Understand? Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Don't know where we went today. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين في أرض الإسلام وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين